If I was to ask you, besides the language of English, how many languages you might speak, how many of you know multiple languages? A couple of people. You are amazing to me. I tried Spanish for a couple of years in high school, and I did not fare well in that class. My ear just did not pick up the language, and yet I can see it, I can read it, and I have some Spanish friends of mine that tell me, your Spanish is actually very good. And I go, then you're deaf. Or you don't really know your language, because I got nothing but fours in that one, you know, or D's, whatever, however you need to equate that. But Rosetta Stone has been the leading language school that has successfully taught many people to speak in a tongue that is not their native tongue. However, one language that Rosetta Stone has never offered, and it's a language that we're going to learn this morning. In fact, many of you have learned it already. You just did not know it. So I'm going to bring that to life in you. But first, are you ready to learn a new language today? This language that you're going to learn today will not only help you to communicate with God, but it will also ensure your future dwelling place. Now, are you interested? Amen. Today's message title is Looking Forward, Speaking God's Language. Have you ever thought about, have you ever entertained the idea of, I wonder what kind of language God speaks? Have you? Yeah. I mean, you know, we think that he speaks Hebrew, but that was just a language that he gave to his children. It's a very blessed language and even has numerical values to each and every word that's a part of it. But then he gave out many different languages at the Tower of Babel. Because leading up to that, all people on earth spoke one language, and they understood each other very well. But at the Tower of Babel, when God looked down on man and saw that, you know, the enterprise of his hands was only to try to bring glory to himself and not glory to the one who created them. And the Lord looked down from heaven and said, you know, if they all with one language can try to accomplish something that brings them a name rather than bringing me glory and honor by bringing glory to my name, what's impossible for them to do? And God says, absolutely nothing is impossible if they were all of one language. And so do you now understand another aspect as to why it's necessary for you and for me to all speak one language, and that's God's. We need to speak God's language to each other. What is God's language? Well, we take back to Psalm 15, verses 1 and 2 as our passage. And there it says, that it's inside your bulletin if you want to follow along. Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? He whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart. Now, those of you who are on your game this morning, who are really sharp, you now know the language of God. His language is what? Truth. His language is truth. In God there is no lie. Never has been any lie. It's always truth. And it's a truth that you can base your life on. Amen? So how can we be assured that we know how to speak the truth from our hearts? You see, truth doesn't come. Notice it says that we speak the truth from our heart, not from our mind, not from our worldly experience. We speak truth from our hearts. Well, Psalm 119, verse 11, gives us a clue because it says, I have hidden your word in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against you. Right? So that's how we speak the truth from our heart, is by hiding God's word in it. When we hide God's word, we won't sin against him. And we'll be able to speak the truth. So here's a question. Are you intentionally hiding God's word in your heart? Because it takes an intentionality to do that. Many of us might take on the challenge of reading the Bible, and this is a good thing. But what this is talking about is hiding the Bible, hiding the truth of God in your heart. Are you hiding it? And many people might say, well, isn't that like meditating? And yes, it is. Because chapter 1, verse 2 says, blessed is the man who delights in God's law, who meditates on it day and night. Now, you see, New Age thinkers have discouraged Christians from meditating. And so we have lost the art of meditating on God's word. They propose that meditation is emptying your mind. God says just the opposite. You don't empty your mind. Instead, you fill it with knowledge that he gives to you. You fill it with his words. Why? So you'll be blessed. And so when the occasion arises, you'll be able to speak the truth from your mouth. Because it arises up from your heart, it's something that you've hidden there until such a time as this that comes up to you. Have any of you ever been blessed with the opportunity that somebody comes to you and they might have shared something about their life that they're going through, and all of a sudden, your mouth just starts speaking the words of God that you have meditated on, that you have hidden inside of yourself because you've had that same type of struggle. And you searched out the scriptures to help those scriptures give you strength in your struggle. And all of a sudden, as they presented their struggle to you, you were able to just all of a sudden audibly come out with scriptures. And they look at you and go, yes, that's exactly what I needed to hear. Have any of you had that? Isn't it a wonderful exchange? When you have hidden the word of God in your heart and it comes to season, it comes to fruition, and you have an opportunity to share it with somebody else, and it blesses not only them, but it majorly blesses you. Because you're going, yeah, God, I get your word. And I just made it plausible for someone else to understand and to employ in their life. See why it's so important? To meditate on the word of God, to delight yourself in it so that you will be blessed. In fact, Paul says to us, he encourages us with these words. He says, study to show yourself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. So what is this truth that I'm supposed to speak? the study of truth is called veritology. Veritology. Big word, huh? Took me 2 days to learn it. And to learn how to pronounce it right. Veritology. Truth. Here's your first fill-in on the outline. Truth is that which is reliable. It's reliable and trustworthy. And it corresponds to reality as God perceives it. Truth is that which is reliable and trustworthy and corresponds to reality as God perceives it. Not what man or even Verizon perceives as reliable, but what God says is reliable and trustworthy and corresponds to what he perceives. You see, this is the problem with many people. They only know truth according to life experience or from the education of influencers. A teaching figure imposes upon them their intelligence or their educational insights, and they tell them that truth is in ourselves. Think about who it is that's teaching you. Not right now. But think about those people who have been your teachers and people that stand in that place of authority and teach, speak into your life. Where are they getting their values from? And are they teaching you truth as God perceives it or as man has perceived it? Has God and his word proven reliable and trustworthy to you? Has it? Have you ever had those times when you've really doubted some things about life, you know, just things you might be struggling with, that you went to God's word and you opened it up and you said, "Where, God, where? Show me." And you've gone back to the concordance at the back and you've looked up a word and to do a word study to see what God's word might say about that situation that you might be in. And you see a couple of scriptures and you've turned to those scriptures and you've opened them up and you see the context of what those thoughts are from. And all of a sudden you are overwhelmed with, "Yes, Lord, I can put myself in this very situation, you are talking to me." Doesn't it overwhelm you? I mean, it just blesses me. When I can take this word of God that was written so many thousands of years ago, and it still applies to my life today. There is not one situation in life that this word does not cover. It is the book of life. It's the book about life. And it's a book that brings life. Amen? Romans chapter 2, verses 7 and 8 says, "God will give eternal life to those who keep on doing good, seeking," you might want to underline that word seeking after the glory and honor and immortality that God offers. "But he will pour out his wrath and anger on those who live for themselves, who refuse to obey the truth and instead live lives of wickedness." You see, our life, our pursuit, while we have as many times and days and hours on this earth, it should be about seeking after the wisdom of God. It should be a devotion of our life. I mean, and I know that this is maybe a tired analogy, but how many of you only eat once a week? Honestly, how many of you only eat one meal on Sunday morning and that's it? And yet we do the same thing. We come to church for 1 hour and we feast. And we hope that that's going to hold us for the entire week. Silly thought, isn't it? We need to feast on the Word of God each and every day. As the writer of Psalms again says, blessed is the man who delights in God's Word, who meditates on it day and night. For those of you who are parents, please be interested in who it is that's teaching your children and the values that they are teaching them. What's the new curriculum that we've got in schools today? Core. Core. Oh, my. I'm going to say one thing. Core is poor. Because it does not teach any of the godly values that our children need. It teaches them very religiously. It teaches them evolution. It does not teach creation. So let me ask you. You have a world of scientists and those who have supposedly studied all the systems of Earth, and they are over here in a big gathering going, we have all evolved from pond scum. And over here, you have God Almighty on His throne going, you are pond scum. I created you. You didn't evolve from a monkey. I created you, and I created you in my image. How dare you mock me with your intelligence, with your supposed figuring out of how you and other people came to be. How dare you? And yet, this is the religion that our children are hearing in our schools today. Sad, isn't it? And yet, we as parents continue to allow it. And we don't speak the truth to our children to let them know that they are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of the living God, our Creator. Amen? Parents, take charge. Take charge of the knowledge that's going into your children's heads. Don't passively sit back and go, glad I'm over and done with that. Be involved with your children, what they're learning. Raise them up in the knowledge of God. In fact, do you understand that Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7 is the first command given by God to the parents? He says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, 6 and 7, hear, O Israel, hear my people called out to me. You're special to me. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord, He is one. That means He's united. He's of one mind. He's of one thought, and that is that man and God have relationship together. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the water, he is one and desires to be at one with you. And man turns around and says, but how, God? How can I be one with you? And God answers it in that same verse. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And here's the first command. Who's the first persons that we're to share the knowledge of the love of God with? He says, teach it to your children. Teach your children to love me above anything else. Parents, you want to know how to raise your children? Teach them to love God as you love God. And what's the greatest way to teach your child to love God? As they see you loving God. That's why we purposely have Sunday Family Church, first Sunday of the month, is so that our children of our church can be in here. Well, there's little nuisances. They make all sorts of little noises. They sprinkle their little papers, and they do all sorts of stuff, and they leave their trash all over, and I just don't like them. They make a lot of noise. You see, those children who you might think are pests and nuisances are not. They need to see visibly how their parents worship the Lord. They need to experience that for themselves so that when they are older, they too will not depart from it. That's why we as a church, we celebrate that once a month. We have Family Sunday here. We teach them communion. We teach them what it is to dedicate their lives to God, where they can sit next to their parents. And I've had some parents that say, well, but our child, they're bored. And I go, with me? You got to be kidding. I was going up for Entertainer of the Year. Our children are bored, and some of the things that you talk about, they kind of go over their heads. Well, guess what, parents? It's your job to explain it to them, to let them know. And that's what Deuteronomy 6 is talking about. It says, teach them to your children. Talk about it when they go to bed. Talk about it when they rise. Talk about it when you walk along in the everyday life. Speak love God all day long to them. And how can you speak it if you're not doing it? It's by example. There are some things that my children, who I thought were never paying attention to me, I would say something, and then my sweet little 4-year-old girl would turn around and repeat the same stupid thing that I had just said. And I realized at that point in time, ooh, I've got a real responsibility as a parent. Because this is a little mimicker. This is a little mirror. And what they hear, they're going to repeat. So be careful of the words that you speak around your children. Let them know the truth of God. Because truth is that which is reliable, is trustworthy, and it corresponds to reality as God perceives it. Jesus declared, I am the way, the truth, and the he that followeth after me will never die, but have eternal life. Amen? So, go to your next point on your outline. To know truth, is to put into practice what God says. To know truth is to put into practice what God says. You know, in life, we accept a truth that has been taught to us that is mathematically still true today, and that is 1 plus 1 equals okay, right? And we have put that knowledge into our everyday in life, and if we would only turn around and employ the truths of God's word, such as, you know, blessings follow obedience. So if I'm disobedient, am I going to be blessed by God? No, but if I'm obedient to what his word tells me, then what can I expect from God? Blessings. Hello? Right? But not if I'm disobedient to what God's word says. I can't live contrary to the truth that he establishes there. And there are many examples that I could give you, but I don't want to offend some of you with some of your thoughts. Instead, you've got to work this stuff out between you and God. You've got to read his word, and you've got to take the truth of what he's saying to you and to your life, and you've got to employ it and see if God doesn't bless you because you've studied his word and you've employed it in your life. To know truth is to put into practice what God says. How about this? For God so loved the world, you and me, that he, what? He gave his only son, that whosoever, does whosoever include each and every one of us? Yeah, that whosoever believes in him shall have eternal life. Do you believe those scriptures? We count on them, don't we? As Christians, we count on that truth that God so loves me. Let me ask you, is it hard for you to accept that God loves you? Honestly, don't blurt out an answer. But some of you need to really think about that. Do you truly believe God loves you? That he takes you just where you are and how you are. Yeah, he takes me with my muffin top. He takes me with my bald head. He takes me with my gray hair. He takes me with the hair growing out of my nose and out of my ears. He takes me just as I am. And he accepts me. He loves me. Does he want to clean me up a little bit? Probably so. But please know this. God loves you just like you are. But he won't ever leave you like you are. I once had a teacher tell me that if this word doesn't change you by reading it, then you're not really employing it in your life. But if you read this word and you employ the truths that are in it, it will change you. It'll change the way that you think and the way that you perceive others as well. Jesus, in John chapter 8, he has a group of very influential people who are very knowledgeable of the scriptures of God. They're called Pharisees, and they were the teachers of their day. And they have a problem with Jesus Why? Because what he's trying to bring, what he's trying to teach, is that there's this whole other dynamic that though you know the laws have not kept you from sin. And that God has, through me, not me, through Jesus, he has brought in and offered a new way of grace. That my relationship with God is no longer dependent upon who I am or what I do, but in my belief that Jesus Christ has done it all for me. I don't know about you, but that makes it a whole lot easier for me. Because I know this man never measured up. And I know that I still have some rough edges that God has taken off of me. Or he's trying to polish them up a little bit. But there are some pretty stubborn ones in there. Why are you laughing, Sharon? You shouldn't be laughing at me like that. Like you know what those edges are. We all have those edges. We all have those places where we need to kind of let the Word of God buffer over us and make us a little more tender, make us a little more loving, make us a little more joyful. Yeah, because the fruit of God's Spirit in us, which His Word is the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God being spoken into us. And the fruit of God's Spirit is, first of all, love, right? Where you realize that I am loved and I have one responsibility, and that's to love God in return. And that, my friends, brings us great joy. Joy. I don't have to perform for God. I actually had a friend of mine right to my face say, "You know, Pastor, you don't knock it out of the park every week with your messages." And I went, "Shut up. I'm swinging hard. And if it's not being knocked out of the park to you, well, pray that it's getting knocked out of the park for somebody else. No, I'm not always going to speak right to you. But sometimes when I speak, and it amazes me, because some of you will come up and you'll go, "Wow, Pastor, you just really spoke to me." I'll go, "Where?" And you go, "Man, it was just like you drew up that sermon just for me." And then I'm truthful enough to say, "You didn't even cross my mind this week." But if God's Word hits you right between the eyes, praise God for His Word that goes out and ministers to you. To know truth is to put it into practice what God says. Amen? John chapter 8, verses 43 and 44, which these Pharisees, they had a great knowledge base of God's Word, but they hadn't let it really permeate their hearts and their minds. And Jesus says this to them, "Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say." And then he says to these Pharisees, to these studiers of God's Word, he says, "You belong to your father, the devil." What? "And you want to carry out your father's desire." Because what was their father's desire? Satan's desire was to destroy, kill, and steal away any power that Jesus came to bring. And guess what? He's still at work trying to steal, kill, and destroy those who would otherwise follow after him and his words, right? He was a murderer. Who? Satan. He was a murderer from the beginning. Not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Do you sometimes catch yourself telling a lie? You think, well, if I don't lie, then this person's going to hear the truth, and that's really going to hurt. Right? Or have you been relating a story, or you've been relating something, and you've thrown just a little bit of an embellishment in there that didn't belong? In reality, what you're doing is you're telling a lie. Because a lie is something that is made up. Truth is of God. Truth is never made up. Truth is truth. To know truth is to live truth. Do you know the language that your father speaks? It's the language of truth, not of lies. Jesus, this is your next fill-in, Jesus came bearing witness to God's truth. Jesus came bearing witness to God's truth. For all these prophecies that God talked about, that someday there will be a Messiah and he will rule on the throne of David and he will bring peace. Jesus Christ has definitely brought peace. Well, and why do we have all these wars? Well, those wars are between men. What Jesus came was to bring peace between God and man. Amen? So, Jesus came bearing witness to God's truth. Bless you. John chapter 1, verse 17 says, "For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." So to know and speak God's truth language is to have Jesus dwell in your heart. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is reliable. Jesus is trustworthy. Religion is not. But Jesus is. You see, because religion is man trying to teach you his ways in how to worship God. God doesn't need traditions. God needs your heart. He needs to allow you to say, you know what, God? Live in me. Live through me. And when you give God that permission, he will live in you and he will live through you in a way that you could never think or imagine. Jesus came bearing witness to God's truth. Do you bear witness to God's truth? And last point, truth never leads to bondage. Truth never leads to bondage. I love this passage in John chapter 8, 31 and 32. To the Jews who believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are my disciples. Then you will know the truth. And the truth will what? The truth will set you free from what? From all the lies that this world will propagate. Amen? If you know the truth of what God says, you can refute the lies that are in this world. But that truth has got to live within you. You've got to take time. You've got to meditate on God's word. You got to just day and night. Just let it simmer into your mind. take a thought, you know, as you're reading through the Bible and something hits you, the Holy Spirit will hit you and go, wow, open up your eyes. Have you seen that truth before? And you go, no, that is just amazing truth. Think about that truth. Permeate on it. Just let it percolate in your thinking and then take it and put it within your heart. We all know this truth that we have taught our children even in song. We are the children of God, amen? And Jesus loves the little children. In God's sight, are we little? Oh, yeah. Right? Jesus loves us. And He loves all the children of the world. And we're called upon to love the world, to love those people that are in it, but most importantly, to love God first and foremost. People of Mountain Valley, let's be a people just so in love with God and with His Word that it permeates in our thinking and in our actions, and that this world is improved because of the knowledge that we have hidden within us. Amen? Because trust me, if the Word of God is within you, you will influence other people with the truth that God has revealed to you. You see, that's what I do every week. I try to influence you with the truth that God has impressed upon me during the week. That's why I got to be honest with you. When I went away and I was seeking for God to give me like a sermon series, and he just says, well, he says, remember the title of that message? You know, just, you know, looking forward. Yeah, God, yeah. Well, every week, just look forward to what I'm going to give you. And in one sense, in my physical realm, I'm scared to death of that. On the spiritual realm, I am just excited because it means I spend more time with my Father to hear from Him what y'all need to hear. And I pray that this message has touched you this morning, because I want you to be able to speak the language of God, and that's the language of truth. Oh, God is so good. Amen. Loving Heavenly Father, we've heard from Your Word this morning. We know, Father, in fact, I heard several voices that repeated the very words that Jesus spoke, Your Son who died for us, when He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Many of us know that. Father, may we substitute our name in there for Jesus. That let me show the way. Let me show the truth. Let me reveal the life. So empower us through the power of Your Holy Spirit that dwells within each and every believer. Let this world be changed by the knowledge that we have of You, Lord God. And may we be willing to share that knowledge with those around us. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said,